This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Femi Abebefe of the GM Shuffle Lombardi Line. He will join us. We will talk some baseball futures. He is one of the great futures awards bettors, really, really underrated. Some of the hits he's had are near hits. I think he had Flacco at 100-1. He had Emmanuel Quickley, sixth man of the year, which almost got home at like 200-1. So he has a really good eye for this stuff. Going to get his thoughts. Baseball futures, some football, some NFL. We will talk to Femi shortly, but just quickly here, we'll start with some NFL. I've done a lot of baseball, and we are like a week away from the deadline, so I'm going to do plenty more baseball. But I thought I'd mix it up a little bit, do some NFL, because we're, like I said, a week away from the trade deadline, but we're also a week away from the Hall of Fame game. So, you know, what happens is the schedules come out, and everyone has their takes, their takeaways from the schedule, and then, you know, you kind of forget about it, and these lines sort of settle in, these markets settle in, and you know, you look at it with fresh eyes and you just go over everything again and maybe start to see some things differently. And one of those teams playing next week in the Hall of Fame game, it is Texans Bears next week. And we're starting to see some lines for that. Bears minus one, total 33. To me, the Texans are one of the more interesting teams in the league. They're going to be everybody's darling. Stroud is 8-1. Their total's 9.5. They came out of nowhere last year. Offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. Went basically from worst to first or just about, or from worst to first. At least in the division, pretty much in the whole league. I mean, that's one of the great turnarounds you're ever going to see. The problem, you dig a little deeper, and the roster is really good. Look at the schedule they played last year compared to this year. And I think I've talked about this before, but boy, they out of conference or out of division. And the division's, you know, one of the softer divisions, Jags, Colts, and Titans, although there is a bet in this division I like. They play out of division. Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens at the Cowboys, the Lions at the Jets, at the Packers, and the Bills on top of their division games. That is absolutely brutal. And you throw in the fact, hey, dealing with some expectations, they're now the hunted, they're not the hunter. And, you know, if you really go back and look last year, despite having a great year, and you can't take anything away, they accomplished what they did. But look at the quarterbacks they beat. They played Lamar in week one, and they lost. But other than that, Bryce Young, Ryan Tannehill, Will Levis, Gardner Minshew twice, Zach Wilson, Russell Wilson, Desmond Ridder, Baker Mayfield, Carr. There's a Kyler Murray game in there, Lawrence a couple of times. They had opposing quarterback schedule as you can possibly have, and you contrast that with what they're going to face this year. So plus 150 to miss the playoffs altogether. I don't know if I mind that with that schedule. It's certainly possible. What I like here, and I'm not a fan of the Jags, I'm not a fan of Lawrence, so I'll just go down to the Colts. I will pick the Colts here, plus 310 to win the division. Shop around, maybe you can get a little bit of a better number. They've got a coach quarterback combo that's pretty good. I'm not ready to just pencil in, hey, they have a really good quarterback. We haven't seen enough, but he certainly looked the part in terms of the talent, size, ability to move. Just he passes the eye test, and he's got a coach that knows how to use him, knows how to accentuate his strengths. And Steichen, who's one of the better coaches, who almost won the division with a backup quarterback last year, were what was like a yard or two away from winning that division. So, and think about if they, you know, complete that pass, how everything's differently, how differently we look at the Texans, how differently we look at the Colts as they head to the playoffs. So to me, the Colts over 3-1 with the discrepancy in the schedule, with how hard the Texan schedule is, not being a fan of the Jags. And to me, Jags, you know, there's some books have a minus 125, minus 130 to miss the playoffs. I think that's a good bet. I just don't think that team's that talented, and they have a pretty tough schedule too. They start out, you know, Miami, Cleveland, they play the Bills. They have some tough, tough games early on, the Jags do. So to me, the Colts are the bet here at 3-1. And I'd be very careful about just penciling Houston in to take another step. Sometimes you take two steps forward, everyone just assumes, hey, young team, it's going to take a third and a fourth step forward. It's not always that easy. It's not always that linear. So big, big discrepancy in the schedule. So we will see them on the field shortly. We won't see them. We'll see their backups, but hard to believe. And by the time you're listening to this, we are a week and a day or less than, you know, seeing football on TV, being able to watch it, being able to bet it. Now, look, it's a Hall of Fame game, and by like the fourth play, all right, this game stinks, I'm going to watch something else. But it is nice to have it back just to see it. But that's the football. Quickly on the baseball, I'm going to talk some awards and futures with Femi. But Pirates are playing right now. Skeens is pitching. It was announced before the game, Shelton, the Pirates manager, said that innings will not be an issue. As long as Skeens is healthy, we're not going to limit him. We're not going to shut him down. So would it make me bet him in terms of Cy Young? But that will be a talking point going forward. Hey, are they going to limit him? Are they going to shut him down? And at least the line here from the Pirates as of now, as of July, while they're still in the mix now, who knows? Maybe they fall out of it and things change. But as of now, they are pretty adamant that they are going to pitch Skeens as long as he's healthy. So keep that in mind. We'll see if Skeens can continue his greatness. But coming up next, it is Femi Abebefe. We'll talk some futures, some awards, some football. That is next. This is a Should A Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should A Bet More podcast. You can catch him on VSiN, host of the GM Shuffle, Lombardi Line, where he does a great job. And he joins us now. It is Femi Abebefe. Femi, what's up, man? Appreciate you coming.
How we
on.
Doing,
this
man?
Be fun. I'm good. We get to talk a little baseball. The muzzle comes off. And I know with Lombardi how he is, you don't get to talk baseball, but here we can talk a little baseball. You get some off, get some of your takes off. What's going on?
None much, man. This is a kind of an interesting time in the sports calendar. I know a lot of people think it's sort of a slower time, but over the last few years, I've gotten more and more into Major League Baseball. You know, like my relationship with baseball, like as a kid, we all loved it. Like I remember watching all those series as a kid, but then once you get to like high school, college, I sort of fell out of love with baseball. Would watch some of the playoffs occasionally, but never was really dialed in. But yeah, over the last few years, kind of gotten right back into it. So yeah, I've been betting a lot of the long range stuff, and it's kind of helped keep me kind of dialed into what's happening day to day. So I don't really feel like it's the dog days of summer. I'm like, hey, there's a lot going on, even though I am excited for football season. That's my favorite sport, but the summer's going by pretty quickly for me, at least.
It's the best thing about baseball is that it is every day. It's there every day, pretty much. I mean, aside from the All-Star break, and that's when you feel the void, you feel the gap.
Week.
It was a long week. Friday took forever to get here. It absolutely was. But you don't, like you said, you don't bet a lot day to day, but you do have a good mind. You're always looking at these futures awards. I know you're not afraid to go shopping deep down the board. Mm-hmm. So I like getting your thought process. I'll leave it to you. Any direction right now, any award you think is worth a bet in any of these markets?
You know, one right now, and I think that a lot of people, when you look at the price, they're going to say like, hey, this is probably a done deal. And I would love it for be a done deal because I'm very, very invested in Aaron Judge to win the American League MVP. But I'm a little, you know, like not sure about why Soto is 14-1 in comparison to Henderson being 5-1 and Witt being 10-1. I'm looking at FanDuel right now. I know DraftKings probably has some different numbers. Looks like Henderson's 4-1 at DraftKings, Witt 12-1, and Soto's 15. As far as I'm concerned, in terms of just pure production, I think Soto is ahead of both Henderson and Witt. Now, Soto being a Yankee and sort of being, I guess, the second most valuable Yankee is probably what hurts him right now in the market, at least. But Henderson and Witt, they don't provide what Soto provides in terms of offensive numbers. I mean, we're taping this here on a Monday. Soto just hit 2 home runs today and had 4 RBIs against the Rays. Like, he has been awesome and would be the MVP, in my opinion, if not for Aaron Judge having, like, the best hitting season since Barry Bonds in his heyday. So I just think, like, if you're looking for a price drop or a price that could be wrong, I'm not saying it's going to win. I hope it doesn't win. But I'm just saying that if you had no money into this market, I think Soto at 15-1 or 14-1 is an interesting look, given the fact that he does have the narrative being that it's first year on the Yankees. And if he can start to get hot, and we know he's kind of a notoriously second half player, if he continues this sort of torrid pace, then maybe he actually does make this a close race between the two Bronx Bombers.
Not a bad one. I hadn't thought that. I have started to think like, hey, if the Yankees – and, you know, they're no lock to make the playoffs. That was a big win Monday against the Rays. We'll see how the rest of the week presents itself. Mets, Red Sox. If they were ever to fall out of the playoff, this Judge, I mean, minus 400 at some books, minus 350. I mean, it's basically Judge versus the field. The Judge is a big favorite. Starting to get a little concerned, like, hey, is this really as much of a lock for Judge as the market indicates? I'm not so sure it is.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I want it to be. And, like, you know, when you get 20-1, 18-1, 16-1, and all of a sudden now that price is minus 400, you're like, it starts to get a little scary. Like, it's almost like it was
Bo Nix part two.
Could it be Bo Nix part two? Like, I don't want to go down that path. Like, I've felt that pain before, and it's not a fun feeling. Obviously, knocking on wood, hoping that Judge can stay healthy throughout the season. I mean, he's been awesome throughout the year, but like, you do get concerned when you see it just where people sort of think that it's a foregone conclusion. Because it's, like, we've played a lot of baseball, but there's still about, 58, 59 games left to go in the season. A lot can still happen. And, I mean, I just wish Judge was playing in the National League. He'd probably run away with this thing. Maybe it would be over by that point, given the fact that Otani's a DH, and they're kind of just looking for anyone to challenge him. It doesn't look like anyone wants to. But it's funny just how the American League competition is just so much better for that award than the National League. Like, Otani wouldn't even be in the conversation if he was still in the American League, if all he was doing was DHing. But the fact that he's in the National League is sort of leading that conversation. But another award, I kind of want to get your thought process on this one as well, because I do think that the market is a little bit, not upside down, but it's kind of making some assumptions. And that's American League Cy Young with Tarek Skubal right now, who's minus 130. He's odds on pretty much everywhere. After him, it's Corbin Burns, which the Burns price, that's the one that I don't understand. And I get that he's won the award before in the National League and he has the cachet and he came over to Baltimore as now he's their ace and he's been pretty good. But boy, Seth Lugo, I don't know where this has come from. I'm invested in Seth Lugo. I'm rooting for him. I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop and for the clock to strike midnight. But just recently this past week and on Sunday, he goes the distance against, yeah, it's the White Sox. They're terrible. They're like a Triple A team, but still he went the distance and added to his production where he is leading the league in innings. He also has a really good ERA at 2.38, I believe it is. Like, eventually we're going to just have to believe in this. If he keeps this up over the course of August, he's going to be in the conversation as perhaps the winner of the AL Cy Young Award, because if you look at some of the predictive metrics, he's actually outpacing guys like Skubal and Burns and Gilbert, but the market just, it keeps seeing that it's Seth Lugo, so it doesn't really want to believe.
I totally agree. I completely agree. Gil Alexander has talked about that on his show where, he thinks that's, that's where the bet. And we have a lot of Mets fans that listen to this. Just they are going to be triggered because he's a former Mets. Insisted he was a reliever. They didn't want to use him as a starter. He wanted to be a starter. Now, you see him in the All-Star game. You see him at top of these Cy Young conversations, and it is it's got to be tough. And they have a nice 1-2 punch when you can line up Reagan's Lugo. Yeah. If you can get into a playoff, so you can line those two guys up with their lineup. It's house money. I mean, this is a team that won 56 games last year, I think, and got red hot at the end of the year just to get to 56, and they were awful. And now they're a legit playoff contender.
You know, it's funny, like I texted somebody yesterday because I was like, man, did you see the Lugo start? And I told them, I said, I think the market should be as follows. I think Skubal should be the favorite, but like plus 200. You shouldn't be odds on. So I had it Skubal plus 200, Lugo plus 500, Burns plus 800, then Gilbert 12-1 is how I, in my head, see the AL Cy Young market. Like Skubal is a justified favorite. I just don't think that he should be odds on, especially when you factor in the off chance that he could get traded to the National League. Now, he could get traded to the Orioles, and then he's good to go the rest of the way. But what if the Dodgers were to go over the top and say, hey, like our entire staff is injured. Let's go ahead and bring in the guy who's been an elite pitcher so far this season. So the fact that there's the trade rumors around Skubal and also the production, while it's been really, really good, it's not like far and away the best. I don't think that odds on price is really justified for him, but I'm glad that you brought up the Royals potential in the playoffs if they were to get there, because recently I actually went ahead and bet a World Series exacta of the Phillies to beat the Royals. BetMGM hung a 125-1.
Wow.
And I think if the Royals were to get, like you mentioned, Lugo, Reagans, Singer, I'm not really the biggest fan, but he's at least okay. They have a good enough staff. If those young guys can get hot behind Bobby Witt, I mean, we just saw this last year with Arizona, where all of a sudden Ketel Marte and Corbin Carroll and all those guys got hot at the right time. They have the pitching to maybe shake up American League, to where Baltimore, I'm sure they're going to go out and try to get an arm, but we know that they like to kind of prospect hoard. What if they think that they can just hold on to their prospects? The Yankees, I'm not really scared of them in October. Like, I think that there's a chance that Kansas City could maybe win the pennant, and then I really just love Philadelphia. I know things are wide open, but I think the Philadelphia Phillies are going to represent the National League in the World Series. So, and Philly would be favored in that series if we got it. So 125-1, Phillies defeat the Royals is my World Series exacta.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's really, I mean, again, a lot of things have to go right for that to happen. Royals have to get in and win a few series, and the Phillies have to win series. So, I mean, when you look at it that way, it's a long leg of a parlay, but that number with the wide open nature of baseball and Philly's so good. I could not possibly argue.
Just get
that.
Hot.
That's right. Are you a believer that Skeens, and by the time people listen to Skeens, will have made another start? Are you a believer that Skeens will have a legit shot at the Cy Young? Do you think the innings take him down? Do you think the fact that he's a rookie gets held against him? Where, yeah, hey, we're Skeens at current numbers, which I think are probably cutting a little short at the current price.
Yeah, I think it's all of those factors. And like, I don't want to say he has no shot because his name is Paul Skeens and he has a lot of hype. And every single person who covers baseball, especially the likes of Jeff Passan, are tweeting about Skeens at every waking minute because he's been kind of, not the flavor of the month that makes it sound like he's just some fluke or whatever, but like he's been the big story of Major League Baseball. It's going to be a massive story in the kind of the post All-Star break version of this season. But I just think there's so many factors working against him. And I could see the voters, and because that's what you're handicapping, is like not just will he be the best pitcher, it's what will the voters vote on, is what kind of what the market should be titled instead of National League Cy Young. It's who will the voters vote to win National League Cy Young is how you should look at it. The fact that he's a rookie and maybe they think that, okay, he was awesome, but maybe we can get him another one next year or the year after that. He's always going to be in the mix. He's nowhere close to the usual required innings to win the award. Like he projects out to be like, what, 130 innings pitched? Like when, like who's winning the Cy Young with 100? Lugo already has 136 innings pitched since July 22nd. And like, you're going to win that with that amount of innings. Like I don't see that, especially if Sale and Wheeler stay healthy. Now Wheeler popped up with that weird back injury. We'll see if he can go ahead and pitch sometime soon. Sale is a walking injury concern, so you always concern there, but I do think that Sale would win this award. But if it's not Sale or Wheeler, or if it's not Skeens, because I do think that the innings is going to be an issue and him being a rookie is going to be an issue. Have you taken a look at Hunter Green for the Reds? Now I know he's volatile, but his ERA is pretty solid. If he can get that under three, I mean, he's up there in all the WAR statistics and everything. And I think that he's a guy that he can give you 6-7 good innings. He has a good strikeout rate and everything. Like he has good stuff. It's just that sometimes he has those starts where he gives up 5 or 6 earned. But if he can kind of continue the momentum that he had rolling into the All-Star break, I think that that price of 80-1, like he's more likely to win than Christopher Sanchez. He's more likely to win than Shota Imanaga. He's more likely to win than Logan Webb. Like, and he's behind a lot of those guys on the odds board once you look at the market. So Hunter Green's an interesting name, just a big-time prospect from yesteryears that maybe this could be the year that he finally puts it all together.
I'm not even seeing him at DraftKings. Where are you seeing him? Are you seeing him at FanDuel?
So FanDuel has him at 80. So let me look at DraftKings right now. I haven't looked at DK to see if they have him listed. He's 150-1 at DraftKings.
Wow.
So they, as always, shop around, like, you know where to go that one. But yeah, like that to me, I think that's worth something. You don't have to go crazy with it, but I think if you have nothing, if you want to nibble and have a Cy Young bet to watch the next part of the season, I think that's an interesting look there for Hunter Green.
I mean, now I can't not bet it just because I'm going to have the fear.
If he wins it, then it's.
Yeah, exactly. Have you actually bet it?
Yeah, I bet it. Yeah, I bet Hunter Green. What price did I get? I gotta look at my ledger here. Did I get the 150? I gotta see here. Take a quick second. I got him at 175. Caesars here in Nevada had 175. So I put a few bucks on that. Obviously, it doesn't take a lot to get a nice payout on 175 to one.
Sure. So, and people would say, hey, it's the All-Star break. He's not even in the mix. He has no chance. Well, remember, Robbie Ray, I think it was 3 years ago, was 100-1 at the All-Star break, and he won. Yep. Harper was like 30-1 in August. He won. Soto was 100-1 for MVP, and I think finished second and easily could have won it. So a lot can happen. And I mean, you learned this the hard way with some of your tickets. The end matters. Like, voters are prone to recency bias. A lot of, like, I say this all the time, us as bettors, we're thinking about these awards all the time, year round, from the start, beginning of the season, before the season. Sometimes these voters, they think about it when the season ends, they slap down their thoughts, or they fill out their ballot. They're not thinking about it every waking moment like we are.
100%. Yeah, like I'm every second I'm thinking about these awards markets. And yeah, these guys are like, they're like, oh, like, let me take a look at what this was. And like, you kind of have to keep that in mind, as like, they're just not. Because like, sometimes I'll overreact to like, oh my God, this guy had a bad start. Now he's probably out of it. I'm like, the voters might not have even watched that start. Like, right. You know, like they might not care. And then maybe the guy has like a few good starts later on, and all of a sudden he's erased that bad start and then some. So you kind of have to keep a cool head when you're diving into these markets.
Not to bring up painful memories, but what I'm alluding to for the listeners, you had Bo Nix, I think, at 30 or 35 to one.
30 to 1.
And he was minus money with it. All he had to do was beat Washington as a 10-point favorite. He's going to win the award. And he got even closer than I thought. And then you had, Emmanuel Quickley, 200-1 for sixth man of the year 2 years ago.
It was 150-1 on Quickley, sixth man. And that one was just
a body blow.
Yeah, he became minus money. Luckily, with that one, though, I had some Brogdon. And I had a little bit of Jaden Daniels as well. So I was like a small winner on both of those. Brogdon winning sixth man of the year a couple of years ago. Jaden Daniels winning the Heisman Trophy last year. But you sit there and look at the count and just say, what could have been? You know, like, you just look and say, you know what? Yeah, I won some money. I didn't lose. And that's the objective when you're making these wagers, is you want to put yourself in a position to make money regardless of the outcome. But man, like, those were going to be jackpots. And it came back in full circle. NFL honors, like, it felt like I hit like a 5-team parlay or something like that. Like, everything came up my way. So I guess kind of what goes around comes around. Yes. Hoping we can keep that good juju for the MLB awards when they get announced on Thanksgiving, since they take so damn long to announce these awards. But it can be rough in these waters, but I love them. I'm a sucker for punishment. So the awards are what keep me satisfied and locked in.
Hey, if you're picking off good numbers constantly, eventually, I mean, there's no guarantee it's going to cash this time or next time, but those are good. It's like hitting the ball hard in baseball. Eventually,
yep.
You know what? It's going to come through for you. Let's get some football thoughts before you get out of here. Let me ask this. Who's the worst team in the league? Who gets the number one pick next year?
I think it's the Patriots.
Okay.
I think the combination of talent and the schedule is going to have them. Like, I don't think they're going to be like the worst team when you watch with your eyes, but I think just that they're not in a good setup. I mean, they have Jacoby Brissett. They're going to start. Who knows how long that'll be. Even if Drake May does end up playing, everybody said that he is raw. He needs some time to develop. The offensive line is a little bit shaky. The pass catcher is nothing that you're going to write home about. Defensively, you could make a case, but the case that I'll make right back to that is that they're losing the greatest defensive mind in the history of the sport. So there's going to be a drop-off. I know a lot of people talk about, hey, look what their numbers were before Judon got hurt or before Christian Gonzalez went down. And yeah, they're going to add their best pass rusher and their best corner, but they're also going to lose literally the best defensive mind in the sport. Like Belichick, losing him is a big impact, even though maybe you don't agree with everything that he does from an in-game decision standpoint, but from a schematic standpoint and adjustments, he is as good as it's ever been in the National Football League. So I think that the schedule is just brutal. And like, I kind of like all three of the teams in the AFC East. Like, I'm still trying to talk myself into the Jets a little bit, but they're still a talented roster. Miami, I sneakily like quite a bit. Buffalo is always going to be good as long as Josh Allen's the quarterback. So I think the Patriots are going to end up being like sort of the whipping boys of that AFC East. And they have a tough schedule beyond just the division games as well. The AFC is so difficult. So I don't see it ending well for New England. I wouldn't really run out and bet the under because their total is so low at 4.5. And gosh, they'll only win three games. You got to be really bad. But it wouldn't surprise me if we're talking about them being 3-14 and maybe looking to trade down and build around Drake May in 2025.
What's your hottest take for the NFL? What's your most contrarian take? You think everybody thinks this team is going to be good, or everyone thinks this team's going to be bad, and you think the opposite? What would that be?
Well, hopefully this is music to your ears. It's your team. I really like the Vikings.
Wow.
I really do. Like the more and more I think about it, I like this team just because the coaching staff is really good. Kevin O'Connell, to me, last year really showed his coaching chops. Like when you have Josh Dobbs on 2 days of being on the team and you're able to win a game, like Dobbs didn't even know the players on the names of the players in the huddle, and they're able to beat the Falcons in that one. Maybe that says a lot about Atlanta, but it also says that Kevin O'Connell knows what he's doing as well. They were just decimated with injuries. Obviously Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson being the top ones, but I do think that the market's just sort of overreacting to the absence of Kirk Cousins. And yeah, Sam Darnold, you're gonna have to kind of talk yourself into it a little bit, but this is also the best situation that he's ever been in his career. He's never had as good of an offensive line. He's never had as good as pass catcher with Jefferson, Addison, Hawkinson when he gets healthy. The running backs are solid. Aaron Jones, they get him from Green Bay. But Kevin O'Connell's a sharp mind. And even if it's not Darnold, if it's JJ McCarthy who they go with, he's also set up to be really well. But on the defensive side of the ball, Brian Flores is an aggressive defensive coach and is a really good defensive mind. And now this year, they've actually got him some toys to play with. Last year, he was making chicken salad out of you-know-what. They signed Van Ginkle. They signed Grenard. They went ahead and added at the linebacker, off-ball linebacker position. Secondary, you have some question marks there, but I like what they did adding to that front seven. This team is not as bad as 6.5 or 7 of a win total. I think they're going to make the playoffs, actually. Like, I think O'Connell and Flores are that good that this team can make the playoffs, because I'm also a little bit down on the Chicago Bears comparison to the market. And I think that the Vikings will have a better record than the Chicago Bears, and they could be. I have three teams from the NFC North going to the postseason this year, with it being Green Bay, Detroit, and Minnesota. Maybe not in that order. I kind of like Green Bay to win the division, but the more I think about the Lions, that team is just so damn stacked. It's hard to really go against them. But I think your Vikings are going to get to the playoffs.
Wow. Yeah. Look, I agree with just about everything you said. I have a hard time with Darnold. McCarthy, it's hard to have a worse couple of months after you've been drafted, whether it's bad pitches at first,
the first pitch
at the Twins game or reports of bad mini camp. But like you said, yeah, the team is well set up. The schedule's hard. You answered the question. It's like, who's the odd team out? Because the Lions are really good. The Packers, we think, obviously have a lot of potential. The Bears, you can't pick them all to be good. And I guess if you're down on the Bears, you could just say, hey, Minnesota takes their spot, and the Bears are the team that's done. Why are you down on the Bears?
It goes back to coaching. I mean, Eberflus has won 10 games in 2 seasons. Now, you can put all of that on Justin Fields. People will do that and say, hey, well, yeah, they replaced Fields. Now Caleb Williams is here. Well, guess what? He's also a rookie quarterback. And I think Caleb Williams will be a good quarterback, but he doesn't have to be good in 2024. We see young quarterbacks struggle all the time. Don't let CJ Stroud sort of fool us into thinking that, oh, yeah, guys just step in and they light the world on fire, and then off we go. Like, we've seen so much evidence of young quarterbacks struggling. Like, I've never seen a rookie quarterback come in with expectations of 8.5, 9. They're odds on to make the playoffs. Like, it's -120. You have to pay juice for a rookie quarterback to make the playoffs. Like, that is crazy town as far as I'm concerned. And you have questions on the offensive line as well. Can they protect Caleb Williams? And if they can't protect him, do we see some of those turnovers that we saw at USC when he's trying to do a little bit too much to try to make plays happen? Now, of course, you're going to like the receivers with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, that addition. Roma Dunze, I'm a Husky fan. I love Roma Dunze. Like, getting him, that's a really nice pickup. But not addressing the defense and that three technique spot, it's just, it doesn't really sit well with me, because I don't think you can just expect that defense to pick up where they were last year in the second half of the season when they made the trade for Montez Sweat. So I think there's more questions than answers with the Chicago Bears. And when you just factor in the price that you're having to pay on this team to succeed, it's just way, way too much. I was lucky. I found an under 9 at even money at Caesars here. And I was like, this is just not right. If they win 10 games, I'll tip the cap, shake their hands and say, you beat me. But I'm going to bet against a rookie quarterback with that sort of setup every single time. And I just don't think the Bears are going to kind of live up to those expectations. Maybe they do in 2025, but in 2024, I think it's way too much, way too soon.
That's interesting. You found a 9. I was wondering if a 9 would pop up. I guess one did. I figured at least after Hard Knocks, because I could sense the momentum after they drafted Adunze, he fell to them, which we weren't sure of. Yep. People are just going to fall into the, I mean, you could read the market. You could read just the public sentiment that people were going to be high on this team. And then once you see him at Hard Knocks, I think that always gives a bump. So I was pretty sure we're going to get a 9. I wasn't sure that we'll get a 9.5. That might be extreme, but hey, if you're already seeing 9 and even money, who knows? Maybe you do see a 9.5 after Hard Knocks.
Oh my God.
Possible.
If a 9.5 pops, I'll just go rebet. Like, I'll just like, I will, like, I'm planting my flag on, like, the Bears just underperforming from expectations. It's just too crazy. And something that I've talked about with Lombardi, and I'm sure you've heard us discuss it as well, like, coaching is really what we should be factoring in a lot, especially in the offseason, and those coaching changes and buying into coaches that have proven it and have been able to have winning teams versus coaches who have been, just for lack of a better phrase, losers and now expected to win. I mean, we sat here last year and everyone's talking about the Saints. Oh, look how easy the schedule is. I'm like, yeah, Dennis Allen is a perennial loser. And now his win total is at 9 or 9.5 or whatever it was. Like, there's no way that's right. And we saw them go under that total and not even win the division, even though it was the most gettable division in the National Football League. So I just think that if you buy stock on coaches that are good, that are being underrated, like an O'Connell, you're going to be better off more than not. And then also, if you kind of sell on some of these coaches, like an Eberflus, who's won 10 games in 2 seasons, and now all of a sudden needs to win 9, like, get out of here. That's just not the reality. And maybe he does it, but I'll go ahead and bet against it every single time.
Last one. Any awards for NFL?
I've tried to kind of dabble just slightly because I've been so invested in baseball. And also, I think learning from last season at NFL Honors, all of my best stuff came in December. Yeah. But for me, I think one that I think is interesting is one that I wrote up as well in the VSiN guide is Chop Robinson, the Penn State pass rusher who's now on the Miami Dolphins, for him to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Like, the path for Defensive Rookie of the Year is pretty simple of, like, what the voters look for. It's like, it's got to be a first round pick because these voters are lazy. You know, like, they're not going to know if, I was burned by this one on Tariq. I had Tariq Woolen 200-1. All he did was lead the league in interceptions and then was third behind Sauce Gardner and Aiden Hutchinson. Like, talk about heartbreakers in awards markets. But, like, if you are that third round, fourth or fifth round pick, it's hard to, you have to be so far and away the best player to even be considered for the award. I mean, a lot of people towards the end of the year were touting Kobe Turner to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. And I was like, I'm going to bet Will Anderson, because I don't think all 50 voters even know who Kobe Turner is. I doubt that they do. Like, they all know who Will Anderson is. They saw him at Alabama. They saw him go third overall. Kobe Turner was like a third or fourth round pick, and it was awesome. He, like, was great. He had, like, what, 9 or 10 sacks, but not every voter knew who he was, so he didn't win the award. So you want to look for a first round pick. You want to look for a first round pick that has a path to playing early, and I think Chop Robinson has that, given the fact that both Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are going to start training camp on PUP. There's a good chance neither guy is ready to go for week 1, so the Dolphins are going to be relying upon Chop Robinson to actually go out there and play. Guys got to be on the field. They got to be names that the voters know, and they have to have the opportunity. I think the Dolphins, their offense is going to be good enough to where he'll be set up with some nice pass rush situations, especially in the second half of game. So I think Chop Robinson, you can find 15-1, 14-1. I think that's a good look for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Not bad. I hadn't thought of that one. I don't get involved too much in that market. And I agree with what you said. You can find some good numbers late in the year. Willie Anderson was like 5-1 pretty late in the season. I mean, look at all the award winners. I mean, Stefanski was 80-1 beginning of December. We know there were outrageous numbers on Flacco. So remember, Jalen Hurts was like even money, maybe mine. I think he was odds on like in December. Yeah. And then he had the bad 49er game and then it just got away from him. So yeah, you can certainly get some good numbers late. Femi, I appreciate it, man. I see the Cowboys. What is that, a blanket in the background? How
many Cowboys, blanket over the couch?
You think people are sleeping on Dallas a little bit?
It does feel like everyone's just like, yeah, auto under, especially on a quarterback head coach combination and Prescott and McCarthy, that all they've done is win 12 games three straight years. And everyone's just like, auto under. I'm like, I get it. I think they'll take a little bit of a step back. I still believe that they'll be in the playoffs. Like, I don't think this is going to be a team that just flames out. They've been way too good for too long in the regular season. My issues with Dallas come in January in the playoffs. But when you talk about win totals and you talk about to make the playoffs, those are regular season markets where if you've been betting them over and you've been betting them yes on the make the playoffs, you've been cashing for three straight years. So it does feel like everyone is kind of itching to fade Dallas, given the fact that they did absolutely nothing throughout free agency in this offseason. But the quarterback and the head coach are just too much of proven winners in the regular season, at least, to me to just auto fade them. So no bets for me on the Cowboys. I'm just going to loathe them and watch them as a fan. But that'll just kind of be the setup for me this year with America's team.
Yeah, I feel like they are being dismissed a little bit. People are very quick to forgive Philly's second half of the season, which is as ugly as it gets. Femi, this was fun, man. We should do this more. I appreciate the time. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, at Femi Abebefe over on Twitter, the Lombardi Line on VSiN, also the GM Shuffle podcast with Michael Lombardi, wherever you get your podcast. This was a lot of fun. Well, thanks for the invite, man.
All right. Thank you to Femi Abebefe. We will see you guys Friday. Probably talk a little more football. Rate, review, subscribe. See you Friday.